back here on Downtown on a Tuesday afternoon. Time for this week's edition of Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese, 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. The peppy Eric Meehan joining us this afternoon. Good day, sir.
Hello. Well, hey, you know why I'm peppy. You know why I'm peppy? Because the Giants finally did something right.
Took a while.
Tommy DeVito.
Oh, my goodness.
Suck with a good Italian-American boy from New Jersey, eh?
What hurts even more was seeing the headlines late last week. Could Saquon Barkley be the first running back to win the MVP in years?
Probably. It's just part of it. It's all a nice package.
Uh-huh. Yep, yeah.
I think what is, you know, we had to go through this. Hopefully the Maratish family will wake up a little bit. Once again, call me. I am still winning my fantasy league, is a lot better than you're doing in your real league.
There you go.
I wouldn't have let Saquon walk. I wouldn't have let him run. I wouldn't have let him out the building, but that's just me. But I mean, he'd be wasted on the Giants. It's actually, part of me is like, good for you.
Oh, sure.
A team where you can do backwards hurdles over people and, you know, like, I mean, you know, you want to see people flourish, and the Lord knows it's not going to happen on that team. I'm just saying that. But anyway, but yeah, so that's you know, nice, and I love the DeVito story. Hopefully he gets another, meatball sub promotion or something.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. So we're finishing up with South America this week, and then next week, I assume we're on.
Oh, yes.
Live.
Oh, yes.
Okay. So we'll do our annual Thanksgiving and Thanks Pairing special, which is, you know, basically designed to help you, the consumer, not freak out when you're trying to, you know, bring wine or give wine this holiday season, either at Thanksgiving or any number of the upcoming holidays, of course, in December, etc. So that's next week, just as a primer. Either way. So we were touching on Argentina. Obviously something that is important, you know, that we touched on the outside investment that really boosted Argentina much faster. I mean, Chile had already been in the game for quite a while before Argentina started to play the reindeer games, as it were, really in the first, you know, the 2000s. But something else that really helped them is obviously the flying winemakers, the Michel Roland, specifically, who's from Pomerol and Bordeaux, who advises over 100 wineries in 13 countries. He was really one of the first people to put Argentina on the map as far as, you know, premier luxury winemaking. And then a whole host have followed since. the next region that's kind of come into play in terms of South American wine scene is a little more challenging in terms of terroir. They have some good terroir. This is Uruguay, by the way, which is South America's fourth largest producer of wine. But theirs is more promising than the third, which is Brazil, which we'll talk about in a little bit. Uruguay got its start as a wine region in South America in the 1870s, really, and that obviously, you know, it's always immigrants bringing clippings of grapes because, again, they want to get their drink on. These specifically were Basque and Italian immigrants that especially came over and made the viticultural scene in Uruguay what it is. Why were they coming over? The obvious one, of course, is they were fleeing the phylloxera epidemic that was killing off all the vineyards. I mean, if you need to make your living and you're a winemaker, go somewhere where you can. So they brought some interesting things, being from where they were from, specifically the Basque folks. So just to kind of bring you back to the other side, the old world, the Basque country comprises a little bit each of France and Spain near the little crook where Spain meets France and the Atlantic Ocean. And, of course, the Pyrenees stretch and provide a natural barrier for much of that border. But right there in the Basque region, and then, of course, over in Catalonia, you can get through. And one of the big grapes in the Basque region of France, especially, is called Tannat, T-A-N-N-A-T, also called Harigue. And Tannat is particularly interesting because it is a very rich, round red wine with thick skin and red juice, interestingly. It's one of the very few that has red juice. And it is in the Basque region of France, known for making some pretty gamey, barnyardy wines. They're great if that's your style. And they, and I mean, again, I've had some tremendous ones, but it's not to everybody's liking. Whereas over in Uruguay, the Tannat takes on a much more sort of lush, chocolatey, dark raspberry style. It's not easy to find. The only ones that were in Maine, which I had actually also carried in New Jersey, they have disappeared, unfortunately, but I will keep trying to look for them. But every now and then, things pop up that are really neat. But Tannat is definitely something to look at because, like Malbec did in Argentina, it was sort of, you know, a second-rate grape or whatever, if you will, in Bordeaux, but in Argentina, obviously, it's flourished. So Tannat is kind of doing that because of the more generous plump style. Some other interesting ones that, again, come from, you know, areas of Spain, areas of Italy, the grape Albariño, which is, of course, from the Galicia region in Spain, was brought over, showing some really, you know, quality examples there. The Italian grape Trebbiano, which is a fairly tart, acidic grape, but can show some real, real promise, again, especially in a region where you can get a little more optimal ripening. They're also doing very cool blends, very interesting blends, because they're not really having to adhere to any given tradition. Of course, you know, you've got, you know, there's no tradition between the Basques and the Italians, per se. So, yeah, it's kind of, you know, free-for-all. It's got a similar latitude to other South American wine regions, but one of the more difficult things about it is it tends to be wetter. And, of course, rain can be a blessing, but it can also be a curse when you're talking about ripening at optimal times with optimal, you know, ratios of the sugars and other solids to water. So they do have to sort of pick their terroir a little bit more carefully. Where was it going? It's cooled and dried by Antarctic winds, not like high altitude. It doesn't have a lot of like high altitude like the Andes. So therefore, the ripening season is, you know, gradual, and that helps to draw out some complexity in some of these otherwise kind of common grapes. Most of the vineyards are clustered near the coast around the city of Montevideo, and it's sort of a wait and see. The third most productive of the wine regions or wine countries down in South America is Brazil. But the reason I leave it for after Uruguay is because it's not super important on the international scene. And in fact, it's basically irrelevant on the international scene. It's mostly fizzy, sweet wines, mostly grown near the centers of population, which means that it's like fertile, humid, and damp. It's not like good at all for making high quality, age-worthy crafted wines. It's just, there's a bunch of hybrids that they use because they're rot resistant. The grape Isabella, which I've never actually tasted, but is a hybrid again that's specifically developed for resisting the moist, humid conditions. There's some serious attempts being made in some of the hotter, drier regions, but there's nothing on the horizon that I've read at all that says, well, Brazil is just going to be the next big thing. I don't think it is. There's just some regions where, until, of course, we completely change the world's climate, which we're working on, it's not going to be anything. Then, of course, there's Bolivia, Peru. The efforts in Bolivia are actually the world's highest vineyards, which is kind of cool. Again, time will tell on that one. And Peru has seen some interest, but nothing really near to the equator because it's just it's not optimal for growing grapes. So there's that. How are we doing on time, sir?
Oh, what? You know what? You take all the time you need.
Okay. Very good.
You're Eric Meehan, doggone it.
Yes. Well, not too much more to say about South America, but basically, as won't surprise anyone, the entire, you know, sort of to recap everything, much of the interest in wine was driven by immigration, by the immigrants. Obviously, similar to here, but I think even more so down there. There was just a lot of folks who came from, I would say, maybe simpler areas that went to simpler areas, and therefore they were able to play around a little bit more. And they've had some really tremendous successes, obviously, but it really took North America's success to really bring them into the sphere. And so, you know, that's a truth. But again, remember that, you know, the only serious exporters are really Chile and Argentina. Again, the important varieties to be on the lookout for, Malbec from Argentina, Carmenere from Chile, Tanat, like we were talking about today, the white varietal Torontes, as well as classic European varietals, some wonderful Cabs, Merlots, Chardonnays, Syrahs. You really have just a tremendous wealth of different terroir down there. So try stuff, and some of it you'll love, some of it you probably won't, but really interesting swath from really classic styles to crazy new winemakers doing natural wines and stuff. So very cool there. Just wanted to also mention before I wrap up, we have holiday hours at the store, which is to say that we are open again on Sundays for the rest of the holiday season, 12 to 4. We are also open from Tuesdays to Saturdays from 10 to 6. I do have a wonderful young lady who is joining our staff for seasonal help from the culinary program at Eastern Maine, Kaylee. So please welcome her when you come on in and do be considerate, because frankly it's the two of us and then maybe my wife, so we'll get to you. Just it may be crowded at times, and we appreciate your patience. I also wanted to remind everybody about my Message in the Bottle video series, which I've been doing on YouTube at Bangor Wine. Please feel free to click on that, subscribe, etc. And as I said earlier, I'll join you next week for the Thanksgiving and Thanks Pairing special, and I hope everybody is gearing up for the holidays, because they're here.
I can't wait. My favorite week of the year coming up. Eric, thank you as always. Hope your week goes well, and we'll check in again next Tuesday.
All righty, sir. Be well. Bye-bye.